Park, 10520 Northeast Halsey Street in Portland. More information can be found at kaboo.fm on the right side of home page under community events.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 10:59. Coming up next, it's Peace, Love, and Soup. Tave and Brian discuss Chili and interview High Hurdle, also known as Suggy Ponson, about his music. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Clinton Street Theater, open since 1915, featuring independent films, parties, and community events, located at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. A full event schedule, tickets and showtimes, and more information is available online at cstpdx.com.
Welcome to Peace, Love, and Soup,
bringing you a significant soup each month, along with culture, cooking,
and conversation. Chili is not so much food as a state of mind. Margaret Cousins, poet.
Tavi, welcome to July.
This month, we're doing things differently. We're chilling.
Chilling with Chili.
And we're dedicating the entire episode to Chief Engineer at KBOO, Tom Hood, also known as
Tommy Hollywood. Not only does he make a championship prize-winning chili, but he also writes music. He's a composer, producer, humorist, and all-around nice guy. He has his own website with a friend of his called travelingradio.com, where he travels the country and records sound.
All of the music and the sound effects that we're going to hear are from Tom Hood.
We interviewed him while we were being interviewed on the Monday Sampler, which was such a new and exciting twist.
And then we had a cookout in front of KBOO where Tom was making his prize-winning chili, or at least a variation of it. And we had made our soup, which I'm not going to spoil the surprise yet.
Six bean chili.
And we made it home with a crock pot, and then we just brought it out here and served it. And so we got all sorts of wonderful opinions from voices all around the neighborhood.
What a beautiful day it was.
It's been a great summer.
I'm in the routine of during the day I look for work, and at night I go float on the river and chill.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to be vicariously having that experience.
Why aren't you on the river floating?
I don't know. Maybe I will be tonight.
Yeah.
Summertime is my favorite time in Oregon. Yeah.
It's so wonderful.
It's so dry here. We don't have a lot of insects. It's just so pleasant. It's everybody's true. Happy. There's no clouds.
Not at all.
Unless when there are clouds.
Well, I like to get to the river and get my float on.
All right. Let's do it. Get our inner tubes and get going.
Yeah.
And so this month's episode is called Chillin' with Chili.
Let's go. Chill out, man. Haven't heard that one in a while.
Chill out.
Right?
History of Chili.
We'd like to share a story about the history of chili written by the good people over at chilicookoff.com.
From the time the second person on Earth mixed some chili peppers with meat and cooked them, the great chili debate was on. Even more heated is the argument over where the first bowl was made and by whom. Estimates range from somewhere west of Laramie in the early 19th century along the Texas Trail Drive to a grisly tale of enraged Aztecs who cut up invading Spanish conquistadors, seasoned chunks of them with a passel of chili peppers, and ate them.
To keep things straight, chili, with an E, refers to the pepper pot, and chili, ending with an I, to the concoction. In the 1880s, a market in San Antonio, Texas, started setting up chili stands from which chili, or bowls of red, as it was called, were sold by women who were called chili queens. A bowl of red cost diners 10 cents and included bread and a glass of water. The fame of chili began to spread, and the dish soon became a major tourist attraction. It was featured at the World's Fair in Chicago in 1893 at the San Antonio Stand.
Some cooks insist chili con carne, known simply as chili in the USA, is all about the cumin, while others choose coffee. Others say beef bouillon is a must, but some say it's beer. Popular items for this steamy stew are ground beef, pork, venison, and chili peppers. While variations, depending on geography, also include onions, beans, tomatoes, and of course, peppers. Google Best Chili Recipe and you'll get about 20 million results, from Firehouse Red, inspired by America's firehouses, to Cincinnati chili, characterized by cinnamon, cloves, allspice, or chocolate, and commonly served over spaghetti or as a hot dog sauce.
As enthusiasm for chili grew, so did the competition. It is believed the first one took place somewhere in Texas in the early 1950s, although other accounts say they began in Terlinga, Texas, in 1967. The International Chili Society was spawned about 48 years ago to motivate competition. Today, the society, which has 2,000 active members, puts on 150 to 200 cook-offs each year, mainly in the U.S., but occasionally in Canada and Europe. Chili cooks can win as much as $25,000 for their best rendition of Chili Red. So, get cooking.
And good luck.
We are here once more for the Monday Sample. We got Just Jess.
Hi, hi.
The man with the menus in his
back pocket.
BBK.
They're ready for you.
Happy Monday, everyone. We've got Tommy Hollywood and the podcast members from Peace, Love, and Soup here on Boo.
Oh, I see. That's the exciting. Mighty Tove.
And Brian.
And Brian, he's new.
He's there, new to the sampler.
Liz Fortunato. It's summer, so keep listening. Young Tommy Hollywood is here with some of his compositions. You know why Mozart couldn't find his music teacher?
Why?
He was hiding.
Oh, yuck.
You know why Beethoven killed all his chickens?
Why?
Because they kept going, bok, bok, bok.
Oh, no, no. So for our listeners, there is an alternative to alternative radio, which is the podcast.
They're the pod people.
Yes. And so you can go on KBOO.FM and then where?
KBOO.FM/peace, love, and soup.
You got cold soup, hot soup.
We feature all kinds of soups. We started off the year with hot soups, and then as the months got warmer, we went to colder soups. Last month, we featured gazpacho.
We did. Oh. For Gay Pride Month.
I'm like, oh, I've been saying it wrong all this time.
We do a significant soup each month, along with culture, cooking, and conversation.
Wow, you guys sound really, really good together.
Thank you.
Six months now.
Yes, exactly. And we usually will go back and forth, often with like more of a vegan or a vegetarian option, and then a meat-based or something like that. And so there's soups for everyone.
I'm excited to hear this show.
I'm glad.
Did you turn the bacon over?
I've got young Tommy is here in the studio.
I know. I only come in here with a screwdriver when something's broken.
Well, oh, it was the smell of the bacon, right? Tommy hooked up here in the air room. We can, like, cook bacon during the show.
Did you know that our Tommy makes chili?
Tove decided that we should do something about cooking. Since I'm a chili cook, I thought I'd bring something about chili and chilling. Most of the chilling I do is in my studio when I'm not cooking. This is kind of a fun tune. Here's Easy Street. It's the voices of the peppers.
I'm a big pepper connoisseur myself, where I love learning of all the different ones with all the different flavors. I got a chance to try the elusive ghost chili.
Oh.
And it tastes amazing. You just have to respect the pepper. The thing is it was super fruity, like habaneros. They have like an amazing fruit flavor. Mm. You know, you just got to know how to work it.
I wonder if anybody here knows about the PDX Hot Sauce Expo.
I've heard of it.
The dates are August 5th and 6th, and they have a world record event. I guess it's a Carolina Reaper eating contest.
Yeah, Carolina Reaper is the world's hottest pepper seed.
Sounds really dangerous.
Yeah.
But Tommy, so what's like the spiciest song you've got there for us to listen to?
Probably the Tom's Tabasco Chili theme song by Cam Newton. I recorded Cam for about 10 years. Here it comes.
So it's perfectly seasoned.
The ever clever.
Thank you.
go chili. Texas know how fire and spice. You know I love Tom's chili. One little bite, you know you're alive. The brightness in your eyes. Each bite a big surprise. It's fine, sublime, and a scream. Tom Tabasco chili. The voices of the pepper saints. It's a blend that you can mend now. Wouldn't even if you could somehow. The brightness in your eyes. Each bite a big surprise. It's fine, sublime, and a scream. Tabasco chili, see and feel the red surround you. The warmth and smile of good health is what you come to. Tabasco chili is so friendly and inviting. The nectar of the gods and sexually exciting.
So Tommy, what are your top secrets when it comes to chili? Are you willing to release them today for our listening audience?
Oh, I'll release a few,
okay,
I guess.
Okay.
I'll say number one, go ahead and get some mock tender. That's the chuck.
Okay.
And it will cook up especially fast. And so when you're in competition, that's a big deal that you want your chili to be completely cooked.
Wait a minute, I have to interrupt. So this is a chuck roast, but it's called mock tender?
Mock tender chuck.
What?
It's a particular cut. You can get it as a roast. You can also put it in your freezer so that it's chilled, and then you can use a slicer to make very tiny little pieces.
Okay.
So first you cook your meat, and you let it simmer and simmer and simmer forever until it's done. I usually put like 3 serrano peppers into the thing.
What you do with the peppers is you slit them with a knife so that the juices ooze out, mm-hmm. and you just let them boil on top. When the peppers are done,
fish them out,
put it in a spoon, and then bring another spoon.
And squeeze the juice out of the peppers so that you're not getting the seeds into your chili. Another secret is do not cook beans with meat. If you do want beans in your chili, you can cook them separately and then add them later. Separate your spices into 2 dumps. The first dump will be chili powders, cayenne. You save your salt to the very end.
Now, and when you're saying a dump of spices, you're just meaning like the time you add it in. So there's 2 different times you're adding them in. You dump a bunch in the first time and you dump a bunch in the second time.
Right. A little trick is to put a bit of oil in with it at the same time. It helps the spices blend right in. And the second dump will be pretty much the same thing. And
gotcha.
Then at the very end, if you're doing competition, you usually put a very last, what they call the kicker, to go to the judges.
Of course, one of the biggest features of it all at the very end, especially in the finishing, is your cumin, your comino. That's really that southwestern taste, that flair.
So if someone has chili and they think it's okay, but it doesn't taste like chili, it's probably the cumin they're missing or not enough of it.
For the competitions, they usually have you do a giant bowl of chili for the people who are coming by. So that's the public pot. And then you have the judges' pot. Of course, I am more critical of the judges' pot. That is, you're looking for perfection there.
So there's criteria that judges are looking for.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a bunch of them. It's the size of the little cubes of meat. You want that bowl of red to be really bright. And the way to get that is to get some high reflectance paprika. What they really like, they want meat with gravy. That's really what it is.
Well, that's probably what makes chili a soup, in my opinion. Tell us about how you got started making chili in the first place.
Well, I'm a native Oregonian. I accidentally was dragged off to Texas when I was 7 years old.
Poor baby.
I learned from a Texas champion who had taken the State Fair of Texas several times and was also a Terlingua champion. Terlingua is a place in Texas, very south. It's a big national park. When I came back, I beat 27 out of 30 Oregon teams.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
So I recommend going to Texas and really experiencing what the southern tongue is like.
Tommy just got back from a trip down to Texas, and he brought Brian and I this fantastic chili mix.
I always buy my spices in San Antonio, but I couldn't get through the security. they had to test my chili spices, and they did swabs on it. Everything turned blue, and I was allowed to go through. This is how.
Thank heavens for peace, love, and soup. You were allowed to go through, or we wouldn't have this chili mix.
So I wanted to bring that to you, and I hope you can find a use either with chili or soups. You can use it pretty much just universally.
There's another chili you can make that is not a bowl of red. It's a bowl of green or white. It's called white chili. You can do this with white beans, like navy beans. You fish out all your peppers and stuff, so you don't have a bunch of green and other stuff. It's actually a white color.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should do a cook-off of chili here at the studio and do it live.
Mm-hmm. Right, and invite people to come on by and have some. What I would suggest is there are a bunch of people who are vegetarian and vegan. So I'm wondering maybe another pot of soup that is non-meat.
The white chili. It's just the all-vegetarian chili. Maybe we could do a white one of that on a Coleman.
I can't wait.
I love this idea of doing it live here in front of KBOO.
We're taking over the sidewalk with our new restaurant.
Peace, Love, and Soup does chili in front of KBOO Portland.
Chilling.
Your community radio station.
Up at KMUN, I would go to the transmitter site because I was working on the transmitters there. And I would bring my Coleman stove and set up in the base of the transmitter tower and make my chili right there.
You'd make your chili while you were fixing stuff. So two types of fixins.
You know, this is you do it for the adventure and the experience of what's happening. So. Well,
Tommy, man, you are a legend here. Your dad started the place, right?
He was one of the founders. Yeah, wow. There were lots of them.
My dad was a jazz musician. He was with the Charlie Barnett Orchestra back in the 40s and had a career in Hollywood until the polio epidemic wiped his career out. My uncle, Bill Hood, was in Hollywood for a 40-year career and was a session man. He was one of the Wrecking Crew. People who put tracks on, like the Monkees. He's on the Monkees' Last Train to Clarksville, and you don't know it because he's not on the record. There's a documentary about the Wrecking Crew you should see. There's like three stills of my uncle on that. He went to Japan twice with Quincy Jones, once with Burt Bacharach. There's no way I could escape, you know. I started pressing buttons on recorders when I was very young, and I'm going to be 66.
Then how did you make your transition into KBOO?
I came up in 69, so that was about a year after the station license was signed in my dad's living room, the first 10-watt FCC license for KBOO. And by the way, there were other call letters. There were about eight of them. I'll have to find them for you, but one of them was KRUD.
KRUD?
We were almost going to be crud.
Oh.
I do know that the KBOO comes from Berkeley Boo.
I did not know that.
This has been verified by Lorenzo Milam, who wrote the original book, Sex and Broadcasting, and he was the one that started the Crab Nebula,
mm-hmm.
a series of small community stations, yep. and he was the Johnny Appleseed of community radio stations, and we're one of those. My dad was a polio victim, so was Lorenzo, so they struck up a friendship, and they corresponded. So that's how KBOO came to be. Well, the KBOO came from the Berkeley Boo, the weed that they were smoking, and the station license was signed on Halloween.
Very appropriate.
So that was the cover for all these years. And Lorenzo made certain that we did not whitewash that history. We are, in fact, the community radio station named after a strain of weed.
This is brilliant.
It's so Portland.
I'm so glad we're not crud.
These are vintage synthesizers layered for no particular reason. It's pure improv.
Like this show today, right,
yes.
Fortunato?
Layered.
We're not endorsed by any particular food.
Or food group.
Or musical genre.
I wonder if Mr. Hollywood knows the Hollywood restaurant called Chasen's. They were very popular and well-known for their chili.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Apparently Elizabeth Taylor had 10 quarts flown into her when she was working on the Cleopatra film in Rome. And the chef, Dave Chasen, would go in on Sunday evenings and wouldn't tell anybody what he put into his chili. And all the actors in all of Hollywood were biting at the chomp for it.
He was so secretive, he wouldn't let anyone else cook it.
Now, speaking of food, we know there's a certain animal that loves to eat, that would eat all the time, and that's feline. And Tommy's got his own cat. Now, your cat has musical talent?
My cat used to have a great deal of musical talent. She was around in the picture for 19 years. Here's Spook, and she's playing on the Fender Rhodes 88 key electric piano from her record called Purr With Me.
John Cage-esque.
Oh, she was a big fan of John Cage.
I love how it sounds like she's purring.
She didn't like the cage, but...
No, they communicate on a higher plane.
God, I love this, man.
I do too.
Well, do you think she might have a career?
Might. She definitely does.
Anyway, that was for you, Spook.
I'm going to remind everyone we're listening to KBOO Portland, right. And this is the Monday Sampler. Every Monday from 2 to 4, and you're going to get a sampling of all sorts of wonderfulness, musical as well as other. And if you heard this show and you want to listen to it later, you can go to kboo.fm/listen and search for the Monday Sampler.
That's right. And the show will be posted in a little while after the show, so you can go back and listen to it. Or you can tell somebody, hey, I heard this great show. You can listen to it again.
Hey, are you hungry? You should listen to the Monday Sampler today.
Or like, what the hell just happened? And can I listen to that again?
We're going to have to wrap things up here on the Sampler. Thank the mighty Tave and her number one buddy.
Brian Delaney.
Brian. Thanks to Tommy Hollywood.
Yes.
Of course, for always being amazing and for taking the time out of his busy day to chat with us here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Brian Delaney and I want to thank all of the Monday Sampler regular hosts for having Peace, Love, and Soup on today, too. So thanks so much for all of that, of course.
Guys. Fun collaboration today on the Sampler. What do you think, Funk Fortunato?
Hey, it's like crazy fun. Thanks all for listening. This has been
Go
the
home
Sampler.
And make something to eat.
You're listening to Peace, Love, and Soup. Did you know a chili head is slang for someone who enjoys eating chili peppers or chili con carne?
Did you know Will Rogers, the old school actor and cattleman, called chili a bowl of blessedness? He also supposedly judged each town by the quality of its chili. He sampled chili in hundreds of places, especially in Texas and Oklahoma, and even kept a box score as if it were a sporting event.
You men.
In his opinion, the finest chili came from a small cafe in Coleman, Texas.
Did you know Jesse James, yes, that outlaw and desperado of the Wild West that we all heard about as kids, refused to rob a bank in McKinney, Texas, because that's where his favorite chili parlor was located.
Food is very motivational, don't you think?
It's also
it
a deterrent.
Crime.
That's it. Chili is a crime preventer.
And finally, did you know that the Chili Appreciation Society International specified in 1999 that cooks are forbidden to put beans in official competition chili?
Nor are they allowed to marinate any meats.
This is smoked paprika, and it has a very nice reluctance, right? It's pretty bright orange. You can see it on the radio. And then this is a darker chili, more rich.
That one's almost beet-colored.
Almost like a grounded bacon bit, right?
We just always have bacon on the brain.
Now, did we even introduce what we're doing today?
Where are we?
We're no longer in the kitchen like we usually are. Today, we're out front of KBOO with Tommy, our chili champ, and Tave, who has challenged him with a 5-bean vegan option. Do you want to describe what you've made last night, Tave?
Actually, it could even be called 6-bean if you include the wax beans as one of them. So, a can of wax beans, and then in addition to that, a can of butter beans, cannellini beans, also known as white kidney beans.
What a good Italian you are.
I try to make the family proud. And great northern beans, garbanzo beans, and a can of just white beans.
because we're doing it camping style. Brian and I went out and we bought a bunch of wonderful assortment of beans, but we just got them in cans.
Cans.
Those traditional like 15 to 16 ounce size.
Cans.
Opened them up.
Cans.
Threw them all in. And then we also bought a big can of hominy.
How many?
Oh, like a double size can.
It was sort of Texas size.
Speaking of Texas size, in addition to that, we bought just a little bag of frozen jumbo corn. Added that in too. So what I did was I took 12 medium tomatillos, 18 small sweet yellow peppers, 2 big heads of garlic, and 1 giant white onion, put them in the food processor, and I kind of like pulverized them that way, so they were still like a little bit chunky.
And then you cooked that in the crock pot, correct?
Yeah, and again, because it's so hot, one option is just throw everything in your crock pot and just go to town. And I did 3 different dumps of spices. I did a teaspoon of light olive oil to sort of keep it in that white vein, and I used a full tablespoon of cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of white pepper, 1 whole teaspoon of ground coriander. And then I also used 1/2 teaspoon of sally limon. Ooh. My new favorite thing, it's like sour salt. So I did that 3 times, 3 dumps.
Perfect. Do you have any hot pepper in your chili?
I do. We used 2 habaneros. They're really distinct to other peppers. They're very aromatic. And then we also got 1 serrano, like Tommy was suggesting. And after I've put my first dump of spices in and then mixed everything else into the crock pot, I put the peppers on the top. And I just let it cook like that with the lid on. And so the idea is they're going to cook in the soup, but it's not going to be like spicy. And then I remove them each time I put an extra dump of spices in and mix it around so I don't break the stem off of them.
Which would release the innards of the pepper.
Exactly, especially if the skin broke apart. And then we'll just chop it up and have it on the side. We'll have like a skin and seed section for the hardcore people.
All right, well, we're out front prepping Tommy's chili con carne. And then we're going to open up the table to the masses. Stay tuned.
Capsaicin. Capsaicin is what makes chili pepper spicy. The highest concentration can be found in the white pith of the inner wall where the seeds are attached. Capsaicin is commonly used in food products to provide heat, usually in the form of spices such as chili powder and paprika. When ingested, cold milk or room temperature sugar water is an active, effective way to relieve the burning sensation. Some people even experience euphoric effects from ingesting capsaicin. Chili heads attribute this to the release of endorphins caused by the human body's natural reaction to reduce pain. Capsaicin is used in topical ointments, nasal sprays, and dermal patches to temporarily relieve minor aches and pains of muscles and joints associated with arthritis, backaches, strains, and sprains. Capsaicin is the active ingredient in pepper spray. Variations of it are used to deter pests such as deer, bear, insects, attacking dogs, and it goes without saying, human muggers.
What are we listening to, Tommy?
Well, that's the voices of the chili. It's bubbling away, man.
Do you want to describe the visual for our people out there?
Well, we have a beautiful dual Coleman stove here and some basmati rice, which is great with spicy foods. And then these are all fiberware stainless steel. This is the normal competition size.
You're not allowed a larger pot when you compete.
Well, usually that's what everybody uses.
This is for real. You do real chili cook-off.
I'm kind of a free-range chili cook.
So at this point, we're not going with traditional Texas chili, then?
This is close to competition.
I lived in Texas for a year.
Your name is?
I'm Ray, and that's one of the few things I liked about it was the chili cook-off.
So, Tom, when do you like to put your onions and garlic in? Do you put them in, like, right with the meat, or you like to wait?
I wait until the meat is kind of tender. The main thing is just boil the heck out of it. And don't even mess with it until you get the meat in the zone. And then start putting garlic, onion, and then your first dump.
Yes, I love it.
To get the spices to blend together, I like to use a little dab of Brill cream.
Can you get that in the local store?
That's not right. It was something else. The guys in Texas, they used a dab of Crisco, believe it or not.
Do they mix the spices in with the Crisco first and then put it in?
Dump the spices in and then just a dab of some oil or Crisco or something, and it helps the spices blend together.
Right in the pot.
Right. We'll let this reduce for a little bit longer, and then we'll kind of give it a taste as well. See if it needs more actual heat, like cayenne. But what I'm trying to do is come up with a medium base. and then you steer it. And if you want to go hotter, you go hotter.
Really, when you're saying base, it's like a base for the last bits of spice, not a base for anything else. There's not going to be beans put in this. You're not adding a bunch of vegetables or anything else like that.
No, basically chili, peppers, powders, garlic, onion, beef, and cumino. Cumin. That's really it.
And love.
Oh, we got our first customer. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi, welcome. And what's your name?
Bree.
Hey, Bree. This is the vegan six-bean chili. And then over there is the meat chili, but it's not quite done yet. But you're welcome to taste this one if you want. And there's different garnishes, too. Cilantro, Mexican cheese, onion, cheddar cheese, nopales over here, if you want to throw that on there.
At first, you know, I wasn't too sure about it.
Thanks for your honesty.
Yes, yes. It kind of reminds me of a Hispanic soup, pozole. And I feel like it would be perfect with, like, some lime or lemon. But I give it out of 10, maybe an 8.
You said at first you were a little bit skeptical when you saw it. Tell me why.
Most of the beans I haven't heard of, but this is really good.
8 out of 10 good.
I haven't tried the other one yet, so I can't compare it to anything.
Okay, true, true.
So welcome our next contestant on Peace, Love, and Soup. So what's your name?
People call me St. James. Yeah, I'm a cook.
Tell us about your chefing background.
Not a chef. There's a lot of respect to be called a chef, and so I shy away from that characterization.
Would you call me a chef?
Possibly.
Well, first taste, then tell. She's stirring her beans. She is now ladling, and St. James is digging in with a spoon.
Oh, wow. That's delicious. That garlic, it's so good. Oh, my God. And when you do, like, the puree for, like, a chili or a soup, just, like, gives it that nice, robust, creamy, where it's not too soupy. It almost becomes like a bisque. It's perfectly balanced with the onions. Yeah, I'm into it.
Hey, well, thanks for dropping by.
So Brian, Nadia here is trying our white chili.
Look at how beautiful a plate looks. Do you really know how to work a buffet?
I go for color. I have my green cilantro here, my red salsa, my yellows and browns from the chili. The Japanese say that you should have, I think, 7 or 8 different colors in your meal, and it